All right, welcome to the podcast. This week, Dave came up with the topic, and I was really excited about this. I'm glad we didn't get into it. We had a beer this past weekend, and
just one.
Yeah,
this is what I was thinking.
Over 5 hours, we just really had one. I think it was one.
Yep.
Definitely like
drank it with a dropper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straw.
One beer, six waters.
And what I'm glad though, we didn't get into this, so we saved it all for today because we would have exhausted this. We got on a bunch of different topics, and but I was excited about when he brought this up, because this can be a fun one, and it's really it's the future of fitness, and not, you know, I'm not talking about the next 6 months, but like going way into the future, maybe like the next 100 years, what it'll look like. And I think to get there, you know, it really helps to understand the history of fitness, which a lot of us don't, and Dave sent us a few notes, and I'm going to let him go over it here in a second. But when you really go through it, it's, you know, a few bullet points. There's big periods of time where fitness wasn't, you know, a focused on thing. And
necessary.
Even, no, not at all. And, no. And even recent, in even recent history, I remember reading about, and it really blew my mind, is recently as like the 70s or 80s, if people would see someone like running on the side of the road, sometimes they just call the cops because they didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Like what's wrong? Like they thought something was wrong or,
strange behavior.
Yeah. Like yeah. Why?
I mean, when I was growing suspicious. Up, because I grew up in the country, when I would run on our dirt road, like people would always scream at me out the window. Like it was insane. Everyone thought I was crazy. And yeah. I'd just go for like a 20-minute run.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. But it was just like, so, you know, they're kind of behind the times a little bit out there. So
the Rocky movie, I do know, just watching things, that was a big turning point for just gyms, and then Arnold and all those guys kind of coming up in the late 70s, you know, brought gym culture.
And Ron Burgundy from Anchorman.
Yes. 1,000.
Winyogging.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, it blew my mind. I remember thinking, I'm like, man, in the 70s, if you were out running on the side of the road, someone would think you were like in distress, or they could not contemplate why you would put yourself through like a volunteer pain if you weren't maybe training for a professional sport, yeah, or something.
Like that was reserved for athletes.
Maybe, yeah.
Like yeah. It wasn't as much in like popular culture.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, you had some notes down. If you could dive through, you know, a short version of kind of our history up until this point, you know, just big periods of time and what fitness looked like. And I think that helps. I love history. It always helps us kind of see where the future is going. So,
yeah, I mean, and this is going to be really broad strokes type of thing, but just kind of writing down some notes for some things I kind of already knew, but was just kind of refreshing on last night, that, you know, probably for most of human history, I don't know how far, like Homo sapiens go back, maybe 100,000, 200,000 years ago. Like they're not 100% sure at this point, but like up until maybe 10,000 years ago, generally hunter gatherers, like life was just surviving, and there wasn't really any extra need for working out or training or fitness. Right. And that like people, like there was no written language at this point. I mean, it was basically just trying not to be killed and find food, find shelter, and try to procreate. That's basically what every animal does for the yep. longest time, right? So until there was really probably like agricultural revolution about 10,000 years ago, where people actually settled into villages and they're like, we don't have to run around. We can plant crops and like, you know, have herds of animals, things like that. So you're starting to progress more towards like civilizations that are rooted in one place,
yep.
right? So things eventually, you know, you're slowly over the course of history, like, not getting lazy, but you're getting a little bit more sedentary activity. Like mm-hmm. it's still, as technology evolves and civilizations evolve, like you're getting less reliance upon physical labor for your survival.
Right? You had more cities yep. and yep. it wasn't just indigenous kind of culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically in the beginning, most of your life and survival depended on your fitness. You know, agricultural revolution happens around the world, like in certain places, right? And expands, and you know, you start to have cities and societies and civilizations, and there's like an order and people are staying more in one place as opposed to traveling around as much. You know, you have like the ancient cultures, you know, everything from the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and there's an interest at that point. It's very like simple and very sensible, but like there are certain even philosophers back then, you know, I know like Hippocrates, like the Hippocratic Oath and medicine, he wrote a lot on stuff related to fitness and health and medicine, but even their approach at the time was like, you can't just eat good food, you must move the body, you know, like this paraphrasing stuff like that. But they even knew at the time that that was an important thing. And I was actually listening or reading somewhere that like a lot of ancient Greek towns actually had what you would call gyms in them. It was like a big part of their culture. You know, there was some kind of focus on that, like we need to move, you know, what that looked like. It's not necessarily like a modern gym, but yeah, there was some focus outside of your life that like this was good for you, like yeah, for your vitality, right?
They had some sort of physical practice going yeah on in these places.
And I think yeah there was, you know, obviously the birthplace of the Olympics and there was competing and there was games. So sport was kind of a part of it too, but they also knew that that was generally good for you. And it was, of course, at the time reserved for men and boys only, no women, you know.
History.
Yes, history.
Not her story.
Exactly. We were joking around that beforehand. So kind of it hits a halt kind of in the Dark Ages, like the medieval times. Like I think there was just a lot of like widespread religion and Christianity and like shame. There was just, it was a different time. A lot of like, not even just in health and fitness, but a lot of things like got forgotten during that time. Like you look back at ancient cultures and they actually were more advanced. And then, you know, in Europe and other places, like they kind of like went downhill until the Renaissance came around, in which, you know, the Renaissance came and there was a reemergence of like studying ancient cultures, classical forms and beauty, you know, both art and science and all this stuff. So there was a greater interest in like, all right, what does this mean? Just across the board with everything in society, right? Mm-hmm. So there was kind of, it started to get back on track. We're like, okay, we know what this is about. Like, we know this is good for us. Again, I don't know if there's really anything that you would call necessarily a gym, but there were certain things, you know, I think a big part of not necessarily physical fitness, but in the history of mankind, like war has always been a part of society and cultures, right? Battling. So in order to have a more advanced, you know, army or military, like you needed training, you needed, it helped your society thrive or your culture dominate others if you were able to train and prepare for battle better. So there was some form of physical training that had a real world application for your like culture's survival.
Yep.
So that is a part of it. It wasn't just like about getting buff. It's like, oh, if I don't stay fit and healthy and train, we may not have an army to defend us.
Yep.
So that was a big part of it too. It was like a very more utilitarian. So kind of flashing forward towards like, you know, past the Renaissance, like the Industrial Revolution, late 1700s. Now you've got like really beginnings of technology taking over our lives. And from here, I think it's just been a slow kind of roll where there's different forms of technological advances that are slowly, at least in modern societies, right? There are all sorts of caveats. There are plenty of places in the world still where people live more traditional lives. But generally, as cultures evolve and societies evolve to more modern times, you have greater technology. And there's not necessarily a need for a ton of physical labor for your life to depend upon it. I mean, there are many people today that could never leave their house and essentially, you know, put food on the table and survive and thrive. Like, I want to say thrive, but you could live.
Yeah.
Right? You don't really have to do anything physical. So, you know, like in the early 20th century, at the same time, there's a lot of like this not need for your physical reliance on like labor and getting your own food and stuff. There's also an emergence of like a fitness culture, you know? So there's like the early days of bodybuilding and actually creating exercise implements. There's like the invention of like gymnastics in Europe and like France and certain places where they're actually forming the basis of like what gymnastics and bodyweight movement is. And, you know, as this culture is kind of emerging, like I said, you're also seeing kind of a slowing down or an increase in like unhealthy habits, right? So yep, there's starting to be a surplus of food, a lot of extra calories. People are sitting around a lot more, people driving instead of walking, right? So there's, you know, an emergence of knowledge and science in the health and exercise space. At the same time, a lot of this stuff, as far as, you know, till today, a lot of chronic disease is going up, a lot of preventable diseases are happening. So it's like both things are kind of going up at the same time right now. And it seems almost counterintuitive, right? There should be, if we know all this stuff and science is getting better and we understand like how healthy all this stuff is for us in training and exercise and building muscle and aerobic health and all stuff, like why do we have so much chronic preventable disease right now?
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, it's just interesting.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, as we've made things easier, you know, I think a good example is how people will say like, hey, I went to Europe and, there wasn't as many maybe heavy people, you know, walking around because their society and the way they're still set up to this day is they're walking a lot. They're buying fresh food. They're eating it within a day or two. And the way they're just kind of set up, is gym culture isn't as big over there as it is here either. But they're set up in a way that, you know, people aren't getting as heavy just because of the nature of
daily activity.
Yeah. A little, you know, yeah. and then here it's a driving culture. So you're not walking everywhere. You have to sort of drive outside of, you know, big cities, but even then, you know, you're driving or taking mass transit a lot of times here. And the way just the United States is set up is to drive, sit, you know, and that's how it's set up. So people get heavy and we have a lot of, you know, the way we eat here is a lot of frozen food, a lot of processed food. People go to the grocery store twice a month, you know, and just pack their freezer. And
it's not even just a story of health and fitness. It's like a story of like human history and like how you set up a culture and what that culture prioritizes. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a story of like necessary capitalism, but it is part of that too. Yeah. I mean, you go into other places, not even just Europe, but around the world, like they're just, it feels different than it does here.
Yeah. Well, we just sell convenience, you know? So then you have to have a lot more personal will to go be healthy.
Yes.
And even like, you know, when I'm looking over my clients, I'm just taking in more information from them now. And I didn't used to like really like pay attention to steps, but you know, if you're only getting 3,000 steps a day, like you're literally just kind of walking around your house, you're ordering food in. And even today, like I was feeling guilty because like Instacarted food in. I'm like, man, it's so much healthier for you to even just go to the store, pick it out. There's something that's really healthy about like seeing something. Oh, I'm inspired by this asparagus. I think I'm going to make this recipe.
No one has ever said that about asparagus.
You know, sometimes I get inspired by asparagus. It's like, no, but seriously.
It's my least favorite vegetable.
You definitely will see a nice cut of meat or fruit.
Yeah.
That looks
you,
like
you
fresh
like you're inspired
good.
By yeah, 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 that yeah. instead of just like, yeah. okay, I need to get my beef. I need to get my chicken and I'm just going to do the same old thing. And there's something really healthy about that experience. And, you know, I just think like I agree with you, Dave. Like, I just feel like a lot of times it's not right that I have to make an effort. Like, okay, I need to get outside today and walk because I feel like it's healthy for me to just be out, even if it's freaking freezing, put on a coat, put on a scarf, but like walk to get Oscar from school. And if I do that, I feel much healthier than if I drive to get him or have him walk home with somebody else or whatever, just stay in the house. I just feel so unhealthy. And I mean, I love, like, I think about this all the time because we, you know, we love to go on travel and I feel so healthy on vacation. I'm like, what do? I walk everywhere. I love not having a car on vacation. Yeah. I hate renting a car. Like, it's one of like my biggest pet peeves.
I kind of resent that you have to work so hard here to like make smart, healthy choices.
It's yeah.
like, it is. It's hard. I understand why I don't necessarily blame people for being unhealthy or like having bad habits because you're like, look where we live.
Right.
It's hard. It's
but
really
it is
hard.
A lot of like culture. Like, you know, not to pick on you, Brandon, but I love to like walk to dinner. Brandon's like, how far is Grandview Avenue? I'm like, it's 1.25 miles. It's not that bad. You know, you've got tennis shoes on. You're okay. Whoa. You know, like it's just our culture. That's just not like the norm. I mean, and truly it's a 20-minute walk. It's not bad. My mom almost fought me once because I made her do that walk. I get it was the middle of the summer, but.
But it's, you know, like, you know, kind of a recent story too is with the kind of getting moving towards the future a little bit. You know, you've got the early 2000s, rise of the internet, and there's like YouTube fitness and like influencer culture starts in the early 2000s. It's like, that's a great resource for a lot of people, but it also becomes just another way for people to get terrible information, just a bunch of charlatans. People are like slinging supplements or like really crappy devices, you know? And it's just, it's an interesting part of where the world is now, because that's a huge part of it. Like it, the fitness is a huge industry now, and a lot of it is just like in a weird online space. And there's pros and cons to it, but part of me thinks like, where is this going now?
Right. So, you know? So I think if we backtrack to sort of modern gym culture that started with bodybuilding. So
yeah, the Arnold era, the early, but you know,
Arnold,
the golden era of bodybuilding,
Sylvester Stallone, all these guys that we grew up and Hulk Hogan. And, you know, so you're seeing these people, they look like superheroes. They're abnormal human beings. And that was almost sold to us, you know, at least to us as kids. And I think everyone, you know, you're growing up is if you go to the gym and you lift weights, you're going to look like this. And these are bodybuilders. And what eventually took over kind of modern gym culture was this bodybuilding fitness. And then for women, it was, you know,
it's kind of like an opposite story though. Like,
so it was to lose
women
weight.
Being really, really thin, like, you know, in the '90s was like part of like that whole era. Like everyone was like sticks. So it was like Kate Moss and you didn't want to have hips and you didn't, you know, now it's kind of changed.
Even the earlier, you know, like Jane Fonda, stuff like that, probably in the '70s or eighties.
Yeah. I used to do all of her videos. Yeah.
Like it's great, but it was probably lighter. It was more aerobics. Right. It wasn't like, hey, let's lift with the men. It was still
like 8 minute abs, 8 minute buns of steel, you know, all of that stuff.
So where I was going is what we quickly, I think, figured out, not quickly, but what we eventually figured out was, especially then, like we just thought these guys had it. Like they just got big like this. We started to figure out that there was a lot of smoke and mirrors and there was drugs and there was different things that were, you know, making this happen. And this sort of fitness was not probably the optimal way for an average person to train, you know, 3.5 hours in a gym doing hypertrophy work, aided by drugs to gain 50 pounds
sleeping
of muscles.
Sleeping all day.
Yeah. So what happened is, you know, in the earlier to mid 2000s, you know, the functional fitness and athletics sort of training model started to come in.
That was really big when I first got into personal training. It was all like the Bosu balls, the stability, like building from the inside out, which is cool, but it almost people lost fitness because everything was just like stand on the ball.
Yeah, that was like the stability type.
I'm like, everybody's fat in here. What's going on?
But where I'm just trying to kind of go with this is we got into a better way for more people to train, you know. We're running, we're doing body weight things and CrossFit, you know, came in and really revolutionized training where people were just moving their bodies in these really healthy ways and gaining capacity and, you know, not just trying to grow muscles or shrink down. They're just learning to move their bodies. And then it's kind of swung the other way into like this hybrid of bodybuilding and functional movement. And, you know, where I see...
Can I rewind just a little bit? Yeah. What about like, when didn't marathons become a little bit more popular, like in the late 50s, early 60s, like running marathons?
And when I wouldn't say it got popular then. I know that they... Trying to think of
because running was like more that was something people knew was healthy for them. I feel like through the 80s, and I remember my grandfather, you know, he's 98 now, he used to go running every day, and he did that for years and years, and that was like a common thing that people knew. And I remember, I mean, in the country it was weird, but like more like in the cities, it was like more common, and okay, we run, and then lifting weights was like weird for girls, like only maybe okay if you're going to play softball or basketball, you can do that, you know, kind of lifting in school. But otherwise, if you're just doing it, like even in my last 2 years of high school, when I got more into lifting, it was just kind of weird. I'd want to do it on my own. Yeah. But I just remember like the running was just more like acceptable. That was like a thing that people could do before. And I wondered if you guys had any notes on that. But
part of it too is like Nike was like made running, like they were starting to build running shoes. And like that became part of it too. Like, hey, everybody can run now. We got these really comfortable shoes for you.
Right.
Like, that's kind of part of the story too, a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't just for like Olympic athletes or people like that. It was you know, common people start more.
Yeah, trying to run average person. Trying to run 10 miles in Converse All-Stars.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, with the when Bannister broke, like, the mile record, I think they were running in, like, leather moccasins, you know? Like, yeah. It just wasn't really.
Like, track flat type things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, where I was starting to go is what CrossFit and what started to happen, too, is, and with all these boutique fitnesses, whether it's, you know, cycling, as we start, now we're starting to gamify fitness. We're using some technology to, you know, track things, add points, score it, and do things like that. And CrossFit does a great job of doing that with movements that are, you know, what we're trying to get back to in a lot of ways are, like, you know, things that we needed in indigenous, like, we're running and we're carrying.
I was going to mention something about that too. Yeah.
So we're getting back to moving that way, and where
primal.
Where I think, you know, at some point we're going to see this go is making fitness, you know, now we're seeing it with Peloton where, like, you're riding the bike in the Alps and all of that stuff, further gamifying this in a way where, you know, you're using VR to play sports. It feels like you're on an NFL field. You know, train for sports in a way that's safer and less impact for, you know, professional athletes, where they're kind of in this world and they can almost simulate a game, but it's almost 100% safe. I mean, I can even think of it in, like, a boxing context. I saw a guy, they had a robot that this guy was boxing, and it was pretty good at, like, blocking his punches and then throwing stuff back, and it wasn't hurting him. And I'm like, you could get very good at this without taking, like, a bunch of damage.
Yeah, but you're never experiencing real life. Like, I get it's less risky, but
I'm not saying that this is good. I'm saying this is where I think it's going to go. Yeah. So it's going to turn this into, like, a big video game, or I'm a Marvel Comics nerd when I was a kid, and, like, the Danger Room and X-Men, basically they'd be in a room and it would just turn it into an environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they practice fighting, and, but it was safe and they wouldn't get killed. And I think that that's what you're going to see with fitness and even recreation in a lot of ways, where they're starting to do, you know, Top Golf. They have a baseball version of it now. It's happening as we speak. To see where it would be in 50 to 100 years, I think it's going to be really crazy.
The 2000s, the Nintendo Wii, right?
Yeah.
I got extra remotes. You could play tennis. You could play games. You're moving around.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, when you were saying getting back into, you know, with functional training, this is that late 90s, early 2000s, as CrossFit was coming up, you kind of have that, like, kind of, you know, the paleo movement starting up, that primal thing. And there's – I feel like, you know, in Vibram five-finger shoes, and there's – I think there was a big interest in, okay, we've had a century of, like, fitness and gym culture, and was like, why don't we rediscover the way we should be moving and living and eating the way we should, you know, did 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was something to that. Like, let's get back to our roots and, you know, move in a bunch of different ways and not necessarily focus on being the longest runner or having the be the strongest person there. But, like, CrossFit have a broad, you know, amount of fitness capabilities, because that's kind of what the average man was like, or average caveman or hunter gatherer was like 10,000 years ago, right?
Yeah.
If you had any real deficits in your health and fitness, if you didn't have a ton of strength, you know, or couldn't run very far or have much endurance, like, you were going to die.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to raise all those levels a little bit to have a really good functional strength, which is probably better for, like you're saying, longevity. It may not be what makes you the greatest athlete in a certain sport, but, like, we're starting to understand now, and science helps with this too, and research, like, what is good for longevity, right? Is it packing on 200 pounds of muscle right now in your 20s? Not necessarily.
Yep.
But what is great for, you know, enduring long-term health of your life?
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of part of it too. But, yeah, like you were saying, with technology, I think there's always been new gadgets. I mean, we grew up seeing a bunch of, like, you know, as seen on TV things that you could buy, a bunch of bands. There's the Thighmaster. I mean, you name it. There's probably some warehouse in the world full of, like, all these gadgets that never sold, right?
Yep.
So I feel like there's always going to be something that you can do at home, like someone's going to sell you a product. But, you know, it keeps on getting more advanced. You know, there's those mirrors you hang in the wall and you can just literally stare at a screen by yourself in your apartment. Like, some of this stuff is okay, but I just don't, like you said, is it really
that effective? No, I think I might rebel and just move to an island.
I think it works for a lot of people. Some of the VR stuff, I have seen, you know, quick stories of someone who maybe just could not get into fitness, right? And they were just really discouraged. Maybe they felt embarrassed about being outside. In this piece of technology that gives them the opportunity to, like, be fit, move around, they see results. If that gets them to the point or gets them to start in which they never would, then, like, I'm not going to knock that.
Yeah.
I just don't know how broadly I would like to take this into some weird kind of, like, sci-fi future where people are just working on math. There's something, like, not really human about it. And maybe we're just, because we're products of our own time period and growing up, like, that's the way we feel. In 100 years from now, they wouldn't think anything different of, like, the time they live in, too. So it's kind of, like, just kind of a perspective thing, but there is something to, you know, we are still the same. We have the same DNA we did 100,000 years ago. We haven't changed at all. So, like, we should somewhat adhere to, like, those principles and not, like, I don't know, fuck it up too much.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think our Tulum trip is really kind of throws back to that, where when we go there, what I loved about that was I think most of us, I don't think I wore shoes almost the entire trip. So we walked everywhere.
And your feet felt great and you were having foot problems.
Yeah. Everywhere and with no shoes, we'd go work out in that jungle gym, doing really basic movements for the most part with, like, wooden weights and rocks and, you know, doing pull-ups and carries and things like that. Then we, you know, we're diving into the water, into the ocean 3 or 4 times a day.
Well, and that's so healing. The ocean healing, earthing's healing, you know, add a water component.
All the food was super fresh, lots of fruit, lots of vegetables, lean meats, you know, getting back to that type of fitness. And it was just crazy because, you know, we're in a gym, we work out every day. And then, you know, going through a few days of that, you were like, this is different. Like, you know, once you're through 3 or 4 days, you're like, I feel really different. And, like, my activity is way up.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. I just know, like, you know, I don't track anything. And I notice how much more I feel like I need to eat and feel good. And I'm like, I know my activities increase, but I just feel like there's something so healthy about the way this life is. It's just less stress. You're not on your phone as much. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like, if we go, like, we like to go to the Turks or Tulum or Puerto, like, any of those kind of island cultures where we're just walking everywhere. It just feels so healthy. And it's just maybe the way we're meant to live more. And
you
just
think? Like, I was literally, you know, to cut you off, but, like, I was talking with Chelsea last night. She just did this longer hike out to Tempe. She traveled from Tucson to Tempe to do a hike. And she's like, I don't get how anyone could live in an environment just surrounded by concrete all the time. And I get it. Like, it's nice to visit New York City or a place like that. But, like, if you've ever spent any time in nature, you're like, oh my God, it just feels so good.
Yeah.
You know,
like a big Morse road.
Yeah.
Wait, again, it's fine. Like, I live here in Columbus too. It's a nice city, but, like, you just realize how, I think most people, when they spend some time doing something like that, they just realize how much they were starved to be away from nature and, like, how good it feels and how replenishing it is and how much it charges you up inside.
Right.
And to just never see that or not be, you know, just be surrounded by, you know, man-made structures constantly. It's not natural. It kind of just, you feel like you're living in an artificial world. And, you know, the gym and all this and working out are like, it's great, but, like, we're simulating a life that we used to have to do.
Right.
It's all pretend.
Right.
So we don't, like, get fat or lose all our muscle because we can basically do a lot of our jobs without and live our life without really having to be physically challenged at all. So when you are in an environment that, like, is a little bit more natural and you realize, like, this is what people used to have to do, or, like, this is how they lived, you're like, why does it feel so good? Because, like, your DNA is like, this is what we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it feels good. You just have to, like, if you are in, you know, more of a modern world, which we all are in for the most part, like, you have to, like, seek those things out and intentionally do them because they're just not going to come at you.
Yeah. I mean, and we do have a lot of metro parks that are really nice in Columbus, but yeah, I mean, it's just not the same, you know, even if we live out and it's like something Brandon and I talk about a lot because like, you know, my family's pretty sedentary and probably won't listen to this, so doesn't matter. But he's like, just their whole lifestyle is set up to do that. Like they just drive everywhere. It's just so foreign to them. And it's still, I'm such a weirdo. I've been in fitness for 25 years and they still look at me like I'm an alien. And I'm like, I've been into this since I was like 16, you know, much longer than 25 years, but it's just not, even out there, like in nature, they could be so much more active. And my dad was when he was farming. I mean, and that has to feel so foreign to him. I remember the first year he had a sedentary job. He worked, you know, for the health department then for 20 something years. He gained 50 pounds. And I think part of it, he was depressed.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, he would walk probably, who knows, we didn't have, you know, Apple Watches or whatever to track things, but he'd walk all day long. You know, and he was milking in the morning and at night, and he was just so, so active. And I think that's part of it, probably for him, is just like, this is weird. Why do you have to do that? Like, we'll just go walk the farm. Now he takes his car out to give the dog exercise. He's like, I'll just drive the car out and back the lane. So he runs. I'm like, could you walk?
Oh, because the dog will literally chase the car. Yes.
Yeah. But you know, for a lot of people, like it's like exercise is stupid. Like it just sucks. But like he was just doing it as part of his life for the longest time.
And I think it's yes. And yeah.
As soon as you like have to make someone intentionally exercise and it's just not part of their life, they just don't want to do it. Like it's just, and I get it. Like I understand that's not a natural instinct for a lot of people. So it's very unfortunate that it's part of evolving as a species and a society and like increasing technology. And again, it has all these pros to it, but again, we also,
it's like scheduling sex to have a baby, right?
Yeah. You just can't like
at 3 PM we're going to recreate.
Yeah, exactly. Everything has to be some kind of weird, unnatural priority because it just doesn't come naturally.
Well, no, and I think, you know, that's what I was going to kind of speak to, too. Even like, you know, we have two children and Charlotte was a little harder and like all the testing that goes along with that and where are you at? And I was just like, I can't do this. And hey, I get it, like to each their own. But I don't know that this is all good for us either. I don't know, having Whoops to see if we slept well or not. Like you can feel that shit. And I remember when I was into running, I wasn't like the best runner. Well, it was decent. And everyone would be like on their watch and where's your pace? I'm like, you know what? I'm throwing that fucking thing away. We see every mile or two where we're at. I'm just going to run. And that's when I had my best couple races where I just listened to my body and I sped up when I felt good. I slowed down a touch when I didn't feel good. I wasn't, you know, with somebody or on some mile time. And I feel like that's what we need to get back to. Yeah. You know, we need to get back to our intuition. And same with my clients. And they're all like, oh, what, you know, carbs and fat. And I'm like, yes, you need carbs pre-workout, give you energy, fat to recover. But listen, if you feel like you need more carbs for a couple of days, that's your body telling you something. Unless you're just depressed and you're sitting with a bag of chips, it's a whole different thing, you know? But listen to what your body's telling you. Listen to like what it's craving and the types of movement, even like to go through a strength cycle or like more conditioning. What is your body trying to tell you? Instead of always like having some master plan written down and forcing it to go there. Like, you know, I think we can just kind of get back to that more and more, but your internal clocks are all fucked up if you're just sitting inside your house all day.
Yeah.
Ordering DoorDash and scheduling sex.
So where do you think, let's say if you guys could think, just to kind of sum this whole thing up, where do you see the future of fitness going? Maybe in the next, you know, 10 to 20 years, you know, AI is starting to like come up and technology starting to flip over faster and faster. Where would you just see it if you could look at the trajectory of it? Like, where's it going?
I feel like there's like cool directions and there's like kind of bleak ones too. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be a doomer about stuff. It's just like, it's sometimes I'm of two minds a little bit, but I mean, I think that there's always a push and pull with like tracking devices and how much we gamify like fitness and things like that versus just kind of seeing what your body feels like and just kind of going in our intuition a little bit more. Cause all that's good information to have, but sometimes it's not important.
Yep.
And so I feel like that will always be a process we do as humans, whatever, you know, whatever field we're talking about or whatever we do, you know, that we're using technology and then it starts to use us a little bit. And there's always that battle, you know, which I think will always be a part of like fitness too. But I think like group training is important. You know, it's cool to have things you could do at home or like online programs you can follow, but generally, you know, we're a social species. So as long as we can kind of continue to do things as a group and exercise a group as a form of play, like it's very important. I think that's always something that has to be done. Whether, you know, you're specifically doing a partner workout or if you're just in a room with people doing it, there has to be a space where you can do it with others. I just think that is better for our long-term health and you'll get better results with it. You know, here and there, like training on your own is fine if you have to, but the social aspect and doing it together as people, I think it's hopefully stays in that direction and we all don't get kind of shut down and do it in front of mirrors with headsets on and in our own little world, as fascinating, as cool as that might be, it's not real. You know? Yeah. So I don't know. There could be some new types of like sports or different methodologies. I mean, science and research is always, you know, seeing what's better for the human body and like we're understanding more and more about ourselves. So I don't know. We'll see. Next 10, 20 years, probably kind of similar to now. I don't know if anything new will happen. I think it'll get interesting like in 100 years from now. Like when there's a lot more technology and they even have these suits now. I think one of my buddies sent me, it's like a full body resistance suit.
Like a weight vest for your whole body.
Your whole body. Like, and so just doing like, if you know an arm curl, like it resists and you just do this. So like that, I'm like, this is weird.
That is wild.
It would be interesting to feel, but there's part of me wild. That was born in the 20th century. It's like, this is not natural.
Yeah.
Like, we shouldn't be wearing these things. Even if it does work, that, like I said, there's part of you that is still a fucking caveman that wants to do caveman shit. You know what I mean? But I don't want to put on a resistance suit that just, you know, has different directions and stuff. It just makes it hard to move. I don't like stuff like that. Just like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think sports is part of fitness too. It's like, what does sports culture look like? Is football going to be around in 100 years or is it just going to turn into like flag football? I mean, there's kind of a push towards that. I don't know. I don't know what sports will look like. Professional sports will look like and training as part of that. And what youth sports and youth, you know, fitness will look like. I think some form of resistance training is always going to be there, but you know, the different implements or technologies or how we organize that and what gyms look like could be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I kind of feel like, you know, to what you guys are talking about, like that's absolutely going to, technology is going to come along, but I kind of feel like there's going to be a divide at some point where people are like, hey, this is getting out of control. Like, it feels super unnatural. I'm just rebelling against this whole culture and I'm going to go like off and maybe live in this little community.
Start to see people who
like
are
self-sustaining community.
Who are kind of getting away from.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of rebellion just with like technology in general and it will kind of be lumped in. That's what I kind of feel. But again, it's probably not going to happen for a long time, but I think some of the stuff is neat. I mean, we went and got stem cells. That's a new thing. I mean, it's not like I'm totally anti-technology. I just feel like sometimes it's not good for us because we lose that connection with ourselves and that is supposed to be part of what we're trying to figure out in this lifetime. I really believe that.
Yeah. I think hopefully there's cool ways to like repair and heal yourself. So like stem cells is not really that achievable or possible for most people these days. So hopefully at some point in the future, if it has results and it's safe, it's something you can go down and get at Walgreens, like a drive through.
Right.
That is possible to live in a future like that. But you know, you can only, it's like we're taking so like basically we're almost getting to the point now where like healthcare and medicine is kind of keeping us alive, but we are so unhealthy.
Right.
I mean, there's healthy people.
Right.
I mean, generally making smart choices, but just generally as a, as a culture, like the only reason half these people are still alive sometimes, it's like the healthcare system is keeping them like on a dialysis machine or whatever. Yeah. But like, we're so advanced that, but like at any other point in history, you would have been dead a long time ago.
Your Wikipedia page isn't filling up with a bunch of new accolades anymore. It's just was sick for the last 20 years. You know, that's kind of what you're seeing sometimes. Yeah. Well, I think this is a fun one we could actually revisit at some point if we have more thoughts on it. But I think for time-wise, we can...
Definitely could be a long discussion at some point.
Too. Absolutely. We can wrap this one up today. I think this is fun. Like, I can, you know, I could continue this, but we got clients and people to go see right now. So we will catch you guys next week.
See you.